We live in a world where people often blame somebody else for their failures. Married couples blame one another. Single people blame others. Drug addicts blame others. The unemployed blame others. Prisoners blame others. Pastors blame members. And members blame pastors. People will go as far as blaming God. But can God be the blame? You'll find out today as we take a look in the book.
Bread of life.
Welcome to A Look in the Book. This program is brought to you by Bible Way Community Baptist Church in beautiful Irving, Texas, where the pastor is Dr. Timothy J. Wilbert Sr. This week, Pastor Wilbert will bring in a series of messages on the book of James. So get close to your radio and listen as Dr. Timothy J. Wilbert Sr. takes a look in the book.
James chapter 1. James chapter 1. I want to look this morning at verses 13 through 18. Verses 13 through 18 out of James chapter 1. And I just want to read to you the first two verses, and that'll be enough to get us started. James chapter 1, beginning with verse 13, it says, "Let no man say when he is tempted, 'I'm tempted of God.' For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempt he any man. But every man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust and enticed." I want to preach this morning on this subject in the form of a question. And the question is, who's to blame? Who's the blame? High five somebody and tell them, "Pastor, gonna talk about who's the blame." Who's the blame? When most people sin, they blame others rather than blaming themselves. Most of us are familiar with the story of Adam and Eve. And you remember the story how Eve was enticed by the serpent, the devil, enticed her to eat off of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And the Bible says she took and she ate and she gave to her husband. And he did eat also. But the Bible says that God came down and began to start walking through the garden in the cool of the day. And God asked the question. He says, "Adam, Adam, where art thou?" And Adam said, "I hid myself and God, because I knew I was naked and I was ashamed." God said, "Who told you that you was naked?" Then God asked another question. He said, "Have thou eaten off of the tree that I forbid it thee not to eat?" And the answer that Adam gave was profound. Adam said, "Lord, the woman that you gave me, gave me of the fruit, and I did eat. Now, on the surface, it seems like Adam was pointing the finger at Eve. But when you really examine that statement, Adam was really pointing the finger at God. Adam was blaming God for his transgression. People do the same thing today. When a man falls into sin, he commits adultery. And you ask that man, why did you commit adultery? You got such a beautiful wife, a beautiful family. Why did you do that? So often he will blame his wife. She wasn't fulfilling my needs. Or he will even blame God. Just like Adam. He said, you know, I was doing good. But I don't know on my job. But I don't know why God put this woman on my job. If this woman wouldn't have showed up on my job, then I wouldn't have committed adultery. I worked out on that job 5 years. But soon as this woman showed up, he pointed the finger at God. A thief that got caught stealing. Ask him, why did you steal? Why did you take that, man? You didn't have to take that. He said, what else could I do? You know, and I lost my job, and God won't seem to give me another job. And because God won't give me another job, what else could I do? I couldn't do nothing else but steal. He's pointing the finger at God. Ask a dope addict, why did you get on drugs? He said, I really didn't want to get on drugs. I never dreamed that I would get on drugs. But you know, I found myself in a bad situation. I lost my job. Then I lost my wife and children. I lost my house. It looked like I lost my car. I lost everything that I had. And so since I lost everything and God wouldn't give me back what I really need, I just turned to drugs. I found myself now on drugs. Who made the drugs? He's really blaming God. Ask a lady that talked too much. And because she talked so much, her mouth done got in trouble. Ask her, well, why did you have to open your mouth? Why did you have to say something? And she'll tell you, now, I've always been a person to speak my mind. God made me that way. In other words, she's pointing the finger at God. And sometimes we point the finger at God directly. Sometimes we point the finger at God indirectly. Sometimes a person can be lazy and they get to work late and you ask them, well, why are you coming to work late? They won't tell the truth that they overslept, that they was laying in the bed and didn't want to get up. They'll say, well, you know, it was raining and the rain slowed me down. I would have been here on time, but it was raining. Well, who made the rain? They are basically pointing the finger at God. The people that James was preaching to was people who wasn't ready to accept responsibility for their own action, and they was pointing the finger at God. There was people who had fallen into temptation, and rather than accepting the responsibility for their own action, they was pointing the finger at God. There was people who had fallen into sin, and rather than owning up to their sin, they was pointing the finger at God.
They was coming to the church mad, and they was really mad at God. You can tell when folks are mad at God, the amens get kind of low. James saw some angry people. Do you know that the average person that comes to church angry? And they are angry. They may take it out on one another, but the real source of their anger is really they're taking it out on God. James began to start dealing with these church folks. And I'm glad that James dealt with them church folks then, because church folks are still the same way today. Church folks still don't want to accept the responsibility for their actions. But James lets us know you can't blame God. I don't care what sin you done fallen into. James say you can't blame God for it. As a matter of fact, James run to God defense like a defense attorney, and he put four things on the table, four evidence on the table why you can't blame God. Can I show you this morning those four things? The first reason that you can't blame God is because of the nature of evil. James said you can't blame God because of the nature of evil. Look here in verse 13. James says, let no man say. Don't let nobody say. When he is tempted, I'm tempted of God. God done this. He said, why you can't say that? He said, for God cannot be tempted with evil. Neither tempt he any man. That's right in the black and white right there. James says you can't blame God because of the nature of evil. What is evil? Well, the dictionary defines evil as a morally bad or wrong, causing injury or any other undesirable results, marked by misfortune. James says you can't blame God because God ain't evil. See, how did people come up with that concept of blaming God? It's because in that day and age, throughout the Roman Empire, they believed in many different kinds of gods. And all of those false gods had one thing in common. All of them was just like man. They was morally corrupt. They could do good, and they could do evil. Sometimes they would do good, sometimes they would do evil. When you had a bad day, a lot of times folks would say, uh-oh, I guess the gods must be having a bad day. When you ran across some bad luck, they said, I guess the God is mad at us. Because their gods was just like them. Just like they commit sin, their gods could commit sin. Just like they was bad, their God was bad. But James says, that's not the case with the true and the living God. The true and the living God, he don't do no evil. He can't even be tempted by evil because he ain't got no evil. Jesus, the devil found that out when he tried to tempt Jesus, didn't he? Remember when the devil tried to tempt Jesus, he tried to tempt him three times to sin, and he came up empty every time. Why is that? It's because Jesus is not evil. He could commit no evil. See Jesus, who is Jesus Christ? Jesus Christ is man, but he's also God. He's the God man. He's a man, but he's got God on the inside of him. And when the devil tempted Jesus, he tempted the flesh, the man, the man side of Jesus could sin. But because Jesus was God on the inside of a man, he could not sin because God cannot sin. That's in seminary school, they call that the hypostatic union. The union between God and man. And so Jesus could not sin. He could not do evil because evil was not on the inside of him. Neither can he tempt man to do evil because he ain't got no evil to give nobody. So James says, you can't blame God because of the nature of evil. God ain't got no evil nature. But he moves on to the second evidence why you can't blame God. You can't blame God because of the nature of man. Look what he said in verse number 14. He said, but every man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Stop right there. We're learning a lot this morning. Look right here, because I think we're getting ready to find out who's to blame. We already found out in verse 13 we can't blame God. But James is letting us know you better start looking at human nature. You better start looking at yourself. Because James says, but every man. Notice James says no exception to the rule. Did you notice that? He says no exception to the rule. Every man. Look at yourself. That includes you. I know sometimes we come to church and we say, well, I'm saved now. Filled with the Holy Ghost. I even speak in tongues and what have you. But James said, every man. I don't care who you are. Red, yellow, black, and white. Every man. Tall or short. Every man. Fat or skinny. Every man. Pretty or ugly. Every man. It's tempting. Young or old. Let me tell you, you don't get too old to stop sinning. Because I sure enough thought that once I got 30, then, you know, all them thoughts are going to go. But I made 50, and I still got some kooky, crazy thoughts coming up. Can I tell the truth? You need to tell the truth and shame the devil, too. Every man is tempted when he's drawn away. Oh, we got to stop right there. He said the problem is you are tempted when you are drawn away of his own. That's your lust. Drawn away. You know what that word drawn away means? It means to be carried away. An example of this, you have saw a little child in the store walking along with mama. Walking along, mama can be going this way. Got the little child. And the child spot a little car on the floor. And that child break away from mama. And they say, oh, mama, look at it, look at that car over there. And mama is trying to go on this way. But the child said, mama, look at that car over there. The mama is trying to take the child this way. But this child break her loose. And he gone over here. He run on over there. And he start playing with the car and stuff. He playing with the car and stuff. And mama is over there calling him, Johnny, come back, Johnny. But Johnny's down here playing with the car. And mama over there calling, Johnny. But Johnny's playing with the car. What done happened? Johnny done got carried away. He done got carried away by his own love. And then when his mama come over there and try to tell him to separate him from that car. Then Johnny started really acting careless. Mama, but can I have the car? I can't have the car. Oh, Mama. He really get carried away. He get carried. He put on a temper tantrum. And she got to drag him on out the stove. Why is that called? Johnny done got carried away by his lust. Ungodly desire. That's what we're talking about, lust. Some mama say you can't have it. That's what make it ungodly. Mama say you can't have that. Now you trying to have some mama say you can't have. You done got carried away of your own lust. Now what's the difference between a little boy and a man? I heard somebody say the only difference between a child and a man is the toys are more expensive. That's the only difference. See, that little boy, first, he was over here playing with this little car when he's, you know, 5, 6 years old. A little car costs $20. But now that he's 25 years old, he want a Cadillac that costs $60,000. He still want a car, but it's just more expensive now. That heart hadn't changed. The heart is still the same. He still got lust there. And that lust is carrying him away. And the Bible says, and he was enticed. You know what that word entice means? It means baited. He's carried away when he was baited. Oh, y'all ain't feeling me. He was carried away when he was, another word, hooked. Come help me out. Come help me out, Brother Colin. I got my fishing hook here. I got my fishing rod and reel. Get over there in the bank. We fishing from the bank. Now, here the fish is. The fish is minding his own business. He's minding his own business. He's over here under the rock. He's minding his own business. Now, he's over there getting his bait ready. You see his bait? He's got a little bait ready. Well, the fish was over here sleeping. Fish wakes up. And he said, well, it's about lunchtime. And so the fish start going out. Said, let me go out on the prowl. Let's see what we're going to have for dinner today. And so he just starts, you know, just going out on the prowl. Then he sees something. He said, hey, look at him. We got some lunch here. He said, all right, look at him. So he float around here, kind of check it out, make sure ain't nobody, you know, trying. So he checks it out. All right, and he said, oh, man, look, that's just what I wanted. And so he zooms in. He zooms in, but not knowing that this thing is really have a hook on it.
Bread of life sent down.
If you would like a copy of the message that you have just heard in its entirety, please call the church office at 972-257-3766. That's 972-257-3766. Or visit the church website at BibleWayIrving.org. That's BibleWayIrving.org. And come by and worship with us this Sunday morning at 11 o'clock at BibleWay Community Baptist Church. And tune in tomorrow as we take a look in the book.
Come on, Houston, you can say it one time with us.